Broadcasting live from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com.
Boys, I'm mellow as a honeydew. Yeah.
That cat is high. Look that look in his eye. Oh, man, he's high. Yes, higher than a kite.
Welcome back to The Speakeasy. I'm your host, Damon Bolte. In the studio today, we are heavily, heavily occupied by the Tiki All-Stars. Nice one, Jack. Today in the studio, we have... Obviously, one of our old friends and repeat guests of the show, Tiki Adam Kolasar. We have newcomers to the show, Jim Kearns and Jim Wrigley from Santa Teresa. We have Ryan LaLoya. And at some point, I think Brian Miller is actually going to show up. Not here yet, but that's okay because there are only so many mics in the studio. And We're gonna kick it off. Well, we've already started kicking it off. There are a couple of pitchers of beer, a few bottles of rum, and Tiki Adam has actually brought with him. I don't know if he even left anything at home. There's a lot going on in here.
Oh yeah, we got the whole kitchen sink here, Damon.
So, just kicking this off. The reason why we're here is because we're doing the Tiki All Stars night. This coming Monday. Now, a little background on the Tiki Monday night at Lanikai in beautiful downtown Soho-ish New York City. It's a Tiki night celebrating the classics, but also the experimental and very improvisational design of like Tiki drinks. That being said... We have every Monday, there is a different guest bartender coming in. At least one. Sometimes two, sometimes three. And especially this coming Monday, there's going to be about 12 of them. And so it's gonna be a really fun event. So let's start talking about this, guys. Like, what we got going on? I mean, like, you guys, everyone here has done one of these nights before, and I have as well. Obviously, they're a lot of fun, albeit somewhat debaucherous at times.
Too much fun.
Yeah. What are some of the highlights? Let's just start out like by saying. First of all, that Tiki Adam is actually, he brought his Hamilton Beach, like vintage Hamilton Beach mixer, and he's making drinks right now, which is pretty amazing. It's really great to have Tiki drinks being made in the studio while the snow is starting to fall here in Brooklyn.
And they're awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. So everyone's done one of these nights. What does Tiki mean to you, like the style of drink?
I think Tiki's one of those, if you listen to Beach Bum Berry talk about it, he's got a really great handle on the idea that Tiki comes out of the times where everyone's in times of depression, no money and things like that, and wants escapism. So you look after the First World War, Second World War, you see the evolution of these drinks where people are looking for escapism. And then by sort of 1940s, you're looking at, you know, the... Don the Beach and Trader Vic bring out these massive experiences for people with these amazing cocktails mixed with fun rum drinks and kind of taking people away from the hard times they've had before. These days, it seems like Tiki is, you know, to a lot of people, the idea of Tiki is that it's something served in a big pineapple with loads of fruit juice, whereas actually it might be served in a pineapple and it's more likely going to be in a Tiki mug and it's going to have a shed load of rum.
Well, yeah, of course. It's not too far off. I mean, to me, like, it's something that's actually come up a lot on this show, more so than I thought it would ever. The idea of, like, Tiki drinks for a lot of, for the bar customer, to start, it's exactly what you said. It's like something that's super fruity, super sugary, rum heavy, you know, served like very, like extremely garnished, you know, one of these things that, I can't stop listening to the Hamilton Beach mixer over there. But it's a style of drink that a lot of people think is like kind of kitschy and more like kind of flamboyant in a way that than a crafted cocktail. But the reality of it is that yeah, there are a lot of ingredients in these drinks, but it's pretty intensive as far as like the creation of a drink in that tiki category. And there are a lot of times, you know, you'll see the same like pineapple juice, lime juice, orange juice with a bunch of different rums. And a lot of the classics they kind of fall under that category. But then there are like the oddballs and like certain ingredients that get thrown in there. And it is a real craft. I mean, you're not just throwing a bunch of shit into a ceramic tumbler and, you know, going from there. It's a real art, you know.
Well, just by varying the base ingredients of the rum, you can take the same drink and make it completely different. You know, if you look at like some of the earlier recipes when people were playing around with the rums, you've got like heavy Jamaican rums being balanced by lighter, so Puerto Rican style rums, and then Spanish light style being kicked off against some sort of agricole or something like that. And those varying those bases can change the drink completely. You know, so it's like having someone else playing the guitar in a band. You know, it's a completely different thing. They might be playing the same song, they're not going to play it the same way.
Right. That's a great analogy.
Yeah. And those nuances are what makes tiki, you know, or what makes the skill in tiki drinks.
Well, and as Don famously said, what one rum can't do, three rums can.
Yeah, that's a good quote.
And it was really, speaking to Jim's point, it was really out of pure pragmatism that Don the Beachcomber decided to work with rum. In that post-prohibition, in 1937, when he started Don the Beachcomber and created this character and this whole notion of escape, he had just traveled the world. He had come back to a post-prohibition America, wanted to get into the hospitality industry.
It's kind of
that's right. That's where it's going here. And here is plentiful, cheap rum, something he knew very well from his time spent with his grandfather, the rum runner in New Orleans. And he could instantly, with this creativity, create classic cocktails with really good spirits as opposed to Canadian whiskey and gin. So it just opened up a door of uniquely American mixology that had heretofore never been experienced. You know, and when we look at these oddball ingredients to figure out that the drink we're drinking right now, you know what? 3 drops of almond extract per serving. That's a real, you know, amalgam. And mm-hmm. 6 drops of Pernod. Not 7, not 8, not 4, but 6.
Yeah.
So these really are an art form when properly executed and the time and love is given to them.
Tell us about this drink, by the way.
Okay, what we're drinking here.
What have we been hearing swirled around in that Hamilton Beach, that vintage Hamilton Beach?
Vintage Hamilton Beach from, that's like a 1942 to 1947 Hamilton Beach Model 31. This was the state of the art when tiki was invented. And one of the things that we had a total geek out a few months back looking at methods of agitation, and we arrived at the fact that Hamilton Beach merely circulates and doesn't further dilute the drink, because the drinks were designed to dilute during the life of the sipping. So this particular drink, the Caribbean Punch, very generically named, but
it's my favorite drink.
This drink was invented in 1937 and was in the original canon of Trader Vic, God forbid, in the original canon of Don the Beachcomber's drinks. And so what this is it's kind of a throwback to his childhood, in that this drink features sarsaparilla. So you have a gold Puerto Rican, a dark Jamaican, not a dark, an amber Jamaican. You have Pernod, you have grenadine, you have almond extract, 3 drops. You have falernum, you have simple syrup, and lime juice and sarsaparilla. And it really makes it quite a sophisticated potable here that defies the notion, as Jim was saying, of the umbrella generic rum punch that's way too citrusy.
In a hollowed out pineapple.
In a hollowed out pineapple, you know. Yeah.
I think the flip side of that in sort of current bartending is this idea that less is more and that everything has to be, you know, damn it, you can't use more than three ingredients and then throw a couple of dashes of an interesting celery and rhubarb bitters on top of it or whatever. But actually, if you can get 12 ingredients to balance absolutely perfectly, and it is one drop more, one drop less, then you're talking about it's to stick on with the music analogy, you've got it's like building an orchestra, one note, one different instrument at a time, and then ending up with this beautiful symphony by the end of it. You know, that's and what we're tasting now, it's a shame you guys can't taste it or smell it, but it's pretty damn good.
I always feel guilty about that on this show.
Well, it's hey, the comparison really of the awesome power trio awesome. And the symphony orchestra.
You can't have it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I totally hear what you say.
Because both are equally awesome. This was the technology of the day. I mean, if I shudder to think what Don the Beachcomber would come up with the materials we have now and the quality and all the innovation that goes on in methods of preparation as well as just available ingredients. And that is what makes Mondays with Miller so special, because Mondays with Miller is all about, and we're gonna hear from him in just a second, is all about pushing the envelope. And I, in my view, it's what would be happening if Don were alive right now. What would he be doing? He'd be doing exactly what's happening with all the different spirits and all the different backgrounds that each of the guests bring to the fore.
And it just puts it in a really down-to-earth context where everybody can come in and have fun. You know, it doesn't just have to be someone who's super into tiki or someone who, you know, is just into cocktails. Like, anyone can walk into that basement and find something on that menu that's going to be delicious, and they're going to have a great time. And that, to me, is one of the coolest things about the Tiki Mondays.
That's it. There's a point of reference that anybody, I don't care what your spirit, you know, proclivities are, you're going to find something, and Brian is the ever-convivial host.
Speaking of walking into a basement and finding something to drink.
Tall drink of water just walked on in here.
Yeah, Brian Miller's here now. Welcome to the show.
Seven hits the table.
Yeah,
right.
It's okay that you're late. It's okay that you're late.
I see you're Santa Teresa, and I raise you Havana 7.
Brian, just to catch up, we were talking about the basically the power that tiki drinks started bringing to the world of drinks, and we started talking about the allure and the origin of bringing those in. And now something I want to talk about for a second is you mentioned before the escapism. I want to talk about that because I think that's something that's really important for this certain category of drinks. You know, like, obviously tiki drinks started popping up in the mid to late 30s, right after Prohibition. So you've got people traveling around the world. And, like, you know, obviously, like, anybody else, guys in the military, like, traveling around, learning new things, like, finding new spirits to. Oh, and now we have James Midnight. Oh my God. This studio
this is turning so
crazy.
Ugly.
Hey, Jack.
That's okay. You can sit on my lap.
We are, Mr. Magoo, we're slowly approaching the largest capacity of people.
That's right.
In the studio. Welcome, James B. Knight.
Cool, thanks.
But as far as the escapism goes, it was almost out of necessity, really, like from Prohibition and also from like people in the military, like rolling around the world, finding new things to mix drinks with. And you get back, and also, all of a sudden we have like this post-prohibition, right? We're in mid-late 30s. And everyone's bringing back all these awesome things that they've learned, all these things that they've tasted and had to drink. And there's a whole world out there that a lot of people were not exposed to before. And that was the classic, like, of the time. That was the escapism. Like, you were getting the fuck
well,
out.
Well, yeah, it starts, I mean, escapism is kind of the whole point of Tiki.
It started with Dawn. Four drinks in front of me, by the way.
Perfect. I only have one shot. As it should be. Now I have a drink. Thank you. But it started, I mean, it's all about escapism. It was the soldiers returning from the war. They had been traveling to the South Seas. They see the exotic culture that's going on out there. They come back home and they kind of want to experience that. And sorry, I'm new at this. And, you know, the husbands and the wives, and they're living out in the suburbs, and they got their kids, and they kind of want to escape from that world. And by going into a tiki bar, it was a way of, like, the doors close. There are no windows in there. You're transported to a tropical isle. And as Don the Beachcomber used to say, if you can't go to paradise, I'll bring it to you. And right. He was the best host there was. I mean, he's kind of he's like Dale. You know, Dale is not only a great bartender, but an incredible host, you know. And that's the way Don was. Don was treated people, always took care of them, made them really feel like they were one of his own. And that's kind of where Tiki took off, like just being that escapist. I mean,
right.
That's what brings me to rum is, like, who doesn't want to drink rum and, like, escape to an island? Like, to me, that if that was on somebody's resume, I'd be like, you're hired.
Sounds
like,
really shitty.
I mean, we've got a Cuban rum here, but I mean, you know, part of the whole prohibition thing was running away to Cuba and hitting all of those drinks, and that's where people met rum. But also, like, at the same time as you know, pre Second World War, at the same time as this tiki craze was starting off for the first time, and then the second time. Every advert on TV was telling you that you could now fly somewhere. You know, you had the availability of travel. You could go away, and then when you came back, you could take a little piece of that escapism, that wonderful holiday that you'd had. You know, rather than just sitting with a lay, you could. I mean, people were creating tiki bars or tiki experiences in their basements. You know, they were literally.
Look at now. You look at I believe it's the current issue of Imbibe that has everybody in their home bars, of which Adam is featured in. You look in that thing, and there's, I think, six or seven bars in there. Four of them are tiki bars.
Yeah,
like, I mean, their home bars are tiki bars. I mean, yours is the epitome of my dad's bar. Like, you have pictures of your parents at their little home bar. My dad's bar when we were in Seattle was literally, he built a shack with, like, a cedar tin roof on it and had, like, golf club jiggers and, you know, all sorts of cheesy things that right now, if it was on eBay, we'd pay a fortune for.
Yeah.
My grandfather had a tiki bar in Port Jefferson. He actually built a tiki bar from scratch. It's still there, actually, which I probably need to steal.
But, yeah, you do.
His entire basement was tiki oriented, and I remember going to Trader Vic's as a kid and them knowing the owner and getting me, like, zombies and Mai Tais at, like, the age of, like, 11, 12. I learned how to make them.
That says a lot.
And it says, it actually, in a nutshell, that's my autobiography, one page.
That's where his necrophilia
is. Drinking at Trader Vic's at 11, 12 is probably not the best parenting, but
he was still sleeping on bars at the age of 11
and 12. At the age of 16,
probably. Toby Chicken is talking about lemonade, and you're talking about Mai Tais. Yeah,
exactly. I still have all my original glasses from Trader Vic's.
Does this have anything to do with the sunglasses that you're now wearing?
I don't know what you're talking about. Am I wearing sunglasses?
Everyone in the studio is wearing sunglasses.
Escapism.
Okay, so it's always a pleasure for me on the show to get everyone together in a studio and talk about this outside of the bar. Because really the way I feel about it is, you mentioned Imbibe Magazine and Adam's Bar, you know. And the way I feel about this show, it's basically like the radio version of Imbibe Magazine. We don't have to always talk about, like, spirits.
This could beer, be somebody's wine. Here.
Like, you know, I had Dana Hell on from Island Creek Oyster Farm.
We've before, got,
you know, we talked about oysters. And, you know, Imbibe Magazine is such a great reference point, you know, like, for just drinks in general. You know, they talk about coffee and tea and soda and stuff like that, too.
Right.
And I love the fact that you mentioned that Adam's Bar is in this current issue, because it's an amazing bar. But the whole idea of putting this show together was getting bartenders and people that are passionate about different types of drinks together, and we talk about it. You know, it's an open forum, and we do that. That being said, you know, we do that a lot at Adam's Bar, by the way. I was there last night, actually.
You know, and that's exactly the point about going back to Mondays with Miller, is that
exactly.
It's like a town hall on Tiki, and you have all these guys with all these different inspirations interpreting Tiki in ways that you could never imagine, you know, and that's really, it's a really special event. And Brian is doing an awesome job of educating people about Tiki, like the people that wander off from Soho, find themselves in a pirate den of iniquity and are blown away by these crazy drinks. And they go and they tell their, it's a really an awesome grassroots education on the sophistication and the complexity, and then just a plain balls out fun that those Mondays are.
I mean, that's, if you don't mind, thank you, Adam. I mean, I figured you should gargle and spit now. I appreciate it.
That's to take the taste of rum away.
I'm not working on a brand now, so I can speak freely. It started with Julie. Julie Reiner was just incredibly generous. I wasn't really working at the time, and she was like, Brian, why don't you come here, do tiki drinks, and, you know, that's what people want to see you do, is make tiki drinks. I was like, well, that's very nice of you to say. I was like, okay. I was like, I have three rules. I get to make whatever I want, I get to dress however I want, and I get to play whatever music I want. She's like, no problem. I was like, well, this is as close to owning a bar without actually the trouble of owning a bar.
Without all the bullshit.
And it just started with inviting people in. Julie was the first one. We did one just before Tales of the Cocktail, which is kind of the epitome of, if a bar opens before Tales of the Cocktail, does anybody hear it? Because everybody was practically gone out of town. So it was just fun. It was like me, Julie, couple other people. I think Adam's been to almost every one except for two or three when you were on vacation. Yeah. But then it started to pick up momentum with more and more people wanting to get behind the bar. I think Jim kind of rescued me. I needed somebody for April, for 15.
I was like number three, right?
You were like the third guy, and you were the one that I was like, okay, cool. Like, you were like the first bartender. No offense, Julie or Lucinda, but Jim, you were the first like bartender that I had, because Adam.
You were before me too, Adam. So I was but first,
right,
too.
Yeah. Well, Adam.
But
Adam,
I'm an enthusiast.
Yeah, he was an enthusiast, and it was
as the sundial measuring the drinks execution would attest to. But
yeah, Adam withstood the first wave, and frankly, one of the busier nights, certainly one of the more lucrative nights that I've worked behind that bar was with Adam. But when Jim came on, it was great, and then. Yeah, Jim's was the night where I'm pretty sure none of us remember actually leaving that bar. I think I remember giving Jim a big hug and smiling.
I don't even know if there was a hug. I think
the way I heard it,
up and down and walked away, like walked separate directions down.
Tell me that there are Tiki Mondays that you walk away remembering the end of the night?
On Tuesday, I do remember. No, Julie, I actually worked this night sober. It's just a really fun night. It's take away the arm garters, the shirt garters, the vests, the ties, the handlebar mustaches. Like, take all that stuff, which is fine. I've been in that world for a while. I don't want to be in that world anymore. Like, this is the world that I'm happy in, and I really feel like when the guys come in, they're like, oh my God, I had such a great time. Jim was like the first guy to go, I want to come back. When can I come back? James was like, this is harder than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, it's very intricate, man. People think Tiki is just like you kind of slam some juice and rum together, and it goes, like, I love to watch people that are very intricate with cocktails, and when they do Tiki for the first time, and then you actually have customers in front of you, and you have to do 12 ingredients in a jigger, and just to see, like, they get a newfound respect for the Tiki culture, because...
We don't batch.
Your Death & Co, you know, principle of kind of like how to come up with the drinks, where you guys are all testing the drinks and doing these tiny little dots of this and that and the other, and making sure they're absolutely perfect. you know, I think what people don't see about Tiki Monday is the fact that this night where it's all fun and everyone's dressed up behind there, that Sunday beforehand, while it may end up mildly messy because of all of the cocktails that you're tasting, that Sunday beforehand is like a real process. It's like, you know, I'll try this. What's this? Okay, yeah. I think it's a dash of this.
It's gonzo cocktailing, right?
Funny. Don't you think, right? People talk about like, oh, well, it's just Tiki Mondays and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, no, Tiki Mondays is like, at least working-wise, is a three-day event. Because Sunday, it's about all of us getting together and going over the menu and making sure that the drinks are good.
I know.
I care about those drinks just as much as I would if I was working at Death & Company. And I and with the talent that I am able to acquire in that room, I expect it from them. I expect them to come in. And Ryan, God bless that kid, has you've worked forever, and you come in on your day off, and you help us work through drinks. And frankly, you get access to some of the best bartenders in the city that are giving you tips. And those guys, everybody loves you.
He has a basketball nickname. I call him the glue.
The glue?
He's the glue that holds everything together, man.
I thought he was Richie
Mondays.
Picardo Jr.
Seriously, I mean, like, this guy's been there for all of them, behind the bar. I mean,
not
like,
quite.
He really
I missed one.
Well,
I missed
maybe
one.
Almost, maybe sort of behind the bar, but...
We're going to take a really quick break. Obviously, we're going to play some Rolling Stones. But when we get back, I want to talk to Ryan about his experiences with Tiki Monday. So, be right back.
On behalf of everybody at HeritageRadioNetwork.com, we'd like to send a special thank you to the Hearst Ranch, our biggest supporter and longest-running sponsor since we first started in 2009. Hearst Ranch is the nation's largest single-source supplier of free-range, all-natural, grass-fed, and grass-finished beef. Since 1865, the Hearst family has raised cattle on the rich, sustainable native grasslands of the Central California coast. The result is beef with extraordinary flavor that's as memorable and natural as the surrounding landscape. For more information, visit www.hearstranch.com.
This completely crazy shit show that's happening right now in the studio.
It's basically like In Excess and a Load of Twisted Shit.
Cool.
It's happening right now.
Sorry. Ah, you got the behind the scenes.
You got the gotcha moment.
Sorry.
That's okay. I'll put it away.
Cheers.
We'll just edit that out.
But cheers, gentlemen.
For the online.
You don't need one.
Cheers.
We're talking. Cheers, guys.
To my Randy Band of Pirates.
Cheers.
Thank you, brothers.
Yes.
Wow.
And so it begins.
This is actually very similar to the Tiki Nights at Lonnie K with Brian Miller.
We're recreating it.
Yeah, we're actually. This is not the best thing to be doing on a Wednesday afternoon.
I have to go back to work. I don't mind.
I have to work tonight. Good God.
So we talked a lot about the Tiki drinks. We talked about the history, and we talked about a little bit. We touched on rum. We'll get a little bit deeper into that in a little bit. But one of the things about any bar, any good bar, behind any good bar, there's a good back.
Absolutely.
Amen.
There's a good bar back.
Not enough of them.
Dude, and Ryan, holy shit, man. I can curse on this radio show because it's internet, so it doesn't matter.
So I can say
the best bar back.
I was worried about
this.
Best bar back in the universe.
I don't see where it all comes from, guys. Like, honestly, I just get back there. I do my fucking job. I get you guys your syrups. You know, I fill your ice. That's it.
Like, but it's so much more than that.
Yeah, but then you also sing along with all the songs.
Well, and play air guitar and stuff.
You play air guitar.
I got a mean air guitar. But it's just like...
And you are quite hunky.
So I've heard. I'm not wearing my sleeveless tonight, but Monday.
The ladies love Ryan.
Yeah, I've only ever seen you wear one outfit.
Well, it's only on Tiki Mondays, dude.
You, mm-hmm. That's your Monday.
It's my Monday.
Why are you wearing it now? Why are you wearing it now?
I'm kind of disappointed that you're not wearing the sleeveless shirt with the bandana.
I have the bandana in my bag. Y'all get it.
So, okay. Obviously, there's a lot of stuff we have to talk about still. But I want to get the bar bags perspective on like what happens at Tiki Monday.
You know, like Miller said, it's like a 3-day affair. Shooting emails back and forth all week, pretty much, between the guest, Julie, Miller. Excuse me. And we're just always, like, trying to, like, work with the sponsors, which is super challenging, come to find out, man. And,
yeah,
like,
I just got offered Ardbeg today.
What?
Ardbeg was like, we'd like to sponsor Tiki Monday. I'm like, I don't know who you think I am, but the... No,
dude. Right, after my night,
but we went with Hennessy instead, so that'll be
after my night with Famous Grouse.
I mean, yeah, we've had Famous Grouse.
We can do anything, man.
Yeah, we really can. I mean, we have Plum Wine is going to be on the with the city.
You're doing a Plum Wine, like a Japanese Plum Wine.
We're doing Tiki Plum Wine drinks. Yeah, that'll be later on with Todd Richmond.
Is it Cowrie?
No, it's
We'll talk about this later. This is
we've got crazy ingredients on the level,
dude. I mean, I'll do a Plum Wine night. All right, so Ryan.
Yeah, anyway, like working with you guys has just been the most, I don't know, for me, being as green as I am behind the bar, like to work with you guys has been so awesome. I learn something new every week that I take with me behind the bar, you know? What's so funny?
Jim Kearns is laughing.
Good or bad, what do you learn?
Where else could you learn to flame an absinthe-soaked Oreo other than James Menite? I mean,
exactly.
I'm trademarking that.
That came from one of the last drinks on a Sunday testing.
All that awesomeness aside.
Sponsored by Oreos.
And when will you ever see Tiki Adam skanking to some ska songs? And then
splitting my head open? No clue as to how that happened. But.
I'm glad... Why are we talking about this shit?
Tiki Mondays is nominating Adam Kolesar for Father of the Year.
That's right. Mommy, why can't Daddy wake up to take me to school? You might want to talk to Mr. Miller about that.
It's Tuesday, honey. It's Ryan's fault.
You can blame me. I just want the name of that.
That's
what
you get
dress.
As a bar back. Yeah. All the blame falls on you.
It's fine.
Yeah, we had a wicked dance session this past Monday.
We had a pretty sweet dance session.
Yeah. That's awesome too. The past few. Once 1 o'clock hits, if you're still awake, it's dance party.
especially if Lynette Monero's dead, man. You better get your dancing shoes on. Oh. She likes to dance to the tiki. That is for sure.
This is turning quickly from a radio show to just like a hangout.
Like, sorry.
It's a perfect replication of Mondays with Miller.
It's pretty much exactly.
It's very
like,
structured in the beginning. Yeah. It's very serious. And then absolute shit show.
Right, so, maybe we always get our job done. Some beer.
Maybe you do or don't pull the plane up before it hits the mountain.
Maybe have a glass so you can drink some beer.
We always pull up at the very
Here's one of the things I wanted to talk about. First of all, let's get back to the Miller Mondays. Wow, everyone got really quiet.
I think we're trying to be responsible.
That's it. We're commanding respect to the host.
Okay, so obviously, every Monday at Lani Kai, doing Tiki Mondays, the All-Star Night, what's going on with that? You've got to, like, pretty much everyone here is going to be there.
Yeah, I mean, I have, for this time around, 10 incredibly talented bartenders, good friends of mine, that are coming in. And it kind of started with, the thought came from actually Jim, because he was like, I can't wait to come back. When can I come back? And this has built up so quickly. I'm booked till June. I've got bartenders till June right now. And I've even had people say, maybe you only want to do it like once or twice a month. I'm like, I can't. Everybody wants to come and be here. And which is great.
June, I'll be next.
It's incredibly humbling. And it's great. Who would have thought something like this would have taken off? But the All-Stars came about. It was like Jim wanted to come back. And I've just kind of wanted to do some sort of charity event. Something... And do something local, you know, to give something back to the neighborhoods that you know, frankly, we all take from. And so I just took a random amount of bartenders, tried to like divide it up, and then it started to grow. Like Brad Farron was like, I want to do this, I want to do this. And Julie's like, I want to do this too. And I was like, okay, well, we'll throw you guys in as well. And it's going to be 10 bartenders this coming Monday, all going probably about an hour and a half is what they're meant to do. They're all submitting their favorite tiki drinks with our sponsors, which are Santa Teresa Rum. Thank God they came through through the last minute.
Yes, yes, thank God. Yeah.
St. Germain, Rob Cooper, those guys are great. And Sean at Partida Tequila has has come through.
Nice guy.
And so we're really thankful to have those sponsors to come in. There will be a happy hour once again, like normal, from 6 to 8. The guys will be serving all of the drinks. We've got, starting off, it's going to be amateur hour with Adam and Joe Desmond. Then we're gonna
they'll make the best cocktail.
We're gonna follow that up with
they'll be sober.
With Julie and Brad Farron are gonna be a team. Then the James Gang comes in with James Menite and Jim Wrigley, and then Richie Boccato and Lynette are coming in, and then God help us all, the night closes with the Gas House Gang of Mr. Kearns here and Mr. Phil Ward. So
and you.
Yeah, and I'll be bar backing.
No,
I make
we're commandeering you, motherfucker. You're getting recruited.
I'm making my bar back debut. Ryan will be training me.
Cracking the whip, dude.
to be
you
a bar back.
You are bartending with us.
And then we have our charity for the night will be the Barman's Fund. And Brian Floyd out there has been really great and incredibly helpful with trying to organize this. He's given us a shout out on his blog, but we're going to actually, the money's going to go to the Willie Mae Fund. It's like for scholarships for girls in Brooklyn to go to like a music camp to rock out. So it's kind of like awesome. School of Rock
that
in Brooklyn
sense.
For girls.
Awesome. It makes
like,
sense for Tiki Mondays because
yeah, hopefully these girls will learn how to play roll. Happy by the Rolling Stones or something like that. That would be great.
Dude,
that,
and then they come to Tiki Monday and do a recital.
Like, someone does amazing. The slides.
But the thing that I really like about the Barman's Fund is it's not just giving them money. It's like, they're going to go out and specifically do something. Like they're going to go pay for scholarships for women, for girls to go to the Willie Mae Club. And they do things like somebody needed diapers, I think, is like what Floyd had recommended me at one time.
Absolutely.
They went out and bought like 3,000 diapers and like hauled them into a place. They do free clinics.
Really cool,
like it's amazing what those guys do.
It's a really cool situation like that Brian... Brian Floyd has set up with the Barman's Fund. He's doing really cool things with that, and he's like you said, that was an actual thing.
Yeah,
he bought like
diapers and took them to
a ton of diapers and took them around.
And it's great. It's like money, you know, something actually goes to somebody. Like he'll buy backpacks for schools and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, Brian, as far as I understand it, on Monday we're going to be like all of our tips, everything we're going to be pulling
all, all tips are going, and the sponsors are all as well as product. They are chipping in money as well, so it's really great.
Anyone who comes down to the night, reach
yeah,
your
you're
pockets,
not you're not supporting you're be, us. Yeah. You're supporting the Willie Mae Foundation, and that's what
you're
you guys should be doing. Like, I really hope everybody comes down and just has a good time. This isn't about geeking out about cocktails. I mean, I've had Ari Form was in there one night, and he's like, Brian, he's like, so what is this, like a bunch of tiki geeks? I'm like, they don't care. They're not going to ask you why do you stir clockwise versus counterclockwise or what bitters you use or anything like that. It's not like that. This is about people who come down. They have tiki drinks that they've read about from one of Beach Bum Berry's books, or they're just there to have a good time, you know? I was like, people are like, what's Tiki Mondays? I'm like, it's really good bartenders, loud rock and roll music, and we dress like pirates. I mean, where else but New York could you like sit outside and smoke a cigarette dressed like a pirate and no one would give you a second look?
I actually miss, it's pretty incredible.
I miss
Dale. Did he actually dress like a pirate?
Not discriminating.
Dale, actually, one of the highlights of my bartending career is tying the pirate bandana on Dale DeGroff.
Dude,
and I have a wonderful picture of Dale with a knife in his mouth.
Right across the studio for me.
I love that picture, by the way.
We were dorking out, and I took a picture of... Okay, so you got him...
I'm going to just tell you something. He made maybe the best Hemingway daiquiri I've ever had, and I know I'm not a geek guy. I'm a Brooklyn street guy, and people
Planner's Punch was amazing.
His Planner's Punch was amazing, but his Hemingway Daiquiri.
Also, Adam
was
fucking zombie bowl.
Zombie fishbowl.
Yeah.
And
all free pour.
And he always free pours.
Free pours.
But what I love about that is that he was free pouring the Hemingway Daiquiri.
But he gave me the components. He's like, it's kind of like this.
On a bar napkin. He's like, this is basically the spec. He wrote it down, gave it to you, and then we're outside. In front of Lanikai, and you're like, dude, check it out. I've got like a handwritten spec
on a Hemingway Daiquiri from Dale DeGraw.
And I was like, that's kind of like the normal spec.
And that's probably the geek, the most geeky
like,
you're ever going to see.
No, but it was delicious. And I was like, you know what? You know why it's so delicious? It's because Dale DeGraw made it.
Well, I don't know if you guys know, but the reason I am a bartender is because of Dale.
That's
the reason why most of us
I was in this industry as a waiter.
To Dale.
Cheers.
To Dale.
To Dale DeGraw.
Cheers. How many cheers is the flamed orange zest cheers got you laid?
Can I tell this? Can I tell this
almost
quick
as many
2 minute
times
story,
as the flame soaked absinthe Oreo?
Can I tell this quick 2 minute story? Because a little.
Go for it.
I was in corporate. I worked for 9X and I was a suit. And I had worked as a waiter but never a bartender. And I was in my company at 9X, I was called the Angel of Death. I used to walk into places, and if I walked in, people got fired. And then I would take their job and work for 3 weeks.
Wow,
and,
I'm really depressed right now.
And then they would get somebody. They would get somebody to do the job, and then I go to the next. I go to the next office and do it. So one day, I'm buttoning my $1,000 suit and making $140,000 a year, and miserable as you could all fuck. And Brian. and I see a guy. I see a guy this on the Today Show doing a drink called Flame of Love, and it's Dale. And I did not know Dale, and I really didn't know bartenders. And I'm watching him as I'm tying my tie, and I'm like, man, this guy looks like he's having a fucking ball. And I thought about it for like 2 minutes, and quit my job, gave my 2 week notice, and lied at this really big, crowded establishment, and told him I was a bartender, and I wasn't, and they put me on the next day on a Saturday night, and I actually had to I thought that everybody like ordered all these crazy cocktails, so I read the Mr. Boston's book all night long. I memorized it and went into this bar and did this gig, and I became a bartender. People think I've been around for like 25 years, but I haven't. I've only been around for 12, and it's because of Dale. And I actually did not tell Dale that story until about maybe 4 months ago. And he was like,
I thought you were going to say 4 a.m. last week.
I probably told him that again. But
we were closed by then.
4 a.m. last night, and that's why you
But his
sunglasses.
Perfect response to me was like, why did you wait so long? I've known you 10 years. And I was like, I didn't want to be one of those geeks. And he's like, you're not a geek. You're family.
He's one of the greatest dudes.
And
ever meet.
He's one of the greatest dudes, and we wouldn't be here without him.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think people kind of forget
a huge
that sometimes.
Tiki nerd.
Oh, he is
a huge
tiki nerd.
He was, wasn't he part of Trailer Happiness when they were putting that bar together? I thought it was
him and Angus and all those guys were part of it.
Originally, when Trailer opened, it was it wasn't like the Match Group. Dale was the bartender consultant, I mean something like that, for the whole of the Match Group. So that was Milk and Honey in London, etc. And so him and Angus Winchester, Papa Jules, all of these people put together this amazing rum list and these drinks. They really geeked out on it. I mean, this was before Intoxica. This is before, like, you know, people really had like investigated what tiki was. There was a bunch of guys setting fire to the roof downstairs in a basement bar in Notting Hill in London. You know?
Awesome, which is like a 70s home tiki bar. I mean, for God's sakes, there's carpet on the fucking floor there.
And they still do it. It's exactly the same. I was in there like 2 weeks ago, and it's exactly
the same. There's
carpet
on the floor.
In a bar.
The floor is carpeted. Totally ridiculous. I mean, that just totally makes no sense at all. I'm gonna do some flaming drinks and have some carpet.
Like that. It actually smells nice in there.
Guys, unfortunately, we're going to have to wrap this up.
Boo.
But that means that we can actually go to the bar and have a drink.
Good, because I don't have to be at work till 6.
There are not many bars that are able to to make the drinks that Tiki Adam has made for us today.
which is the Caribbean rum punch, which is fantastic. My favorite drink. I'm fantastic. Very excited. We've got Santa Teresa rum.
Beautiful.
I mean, rum. Yeah. Dude, yeah, baby. And you brought in some Havana Club.
Yep.
Yeah, which is
we got
amazing.
James McKnight from Don Q.
I was supposed to bring some back for Natasha, but there's none. But seriously, if I can just take one moment for the three or four people that are actually listening to us today. If you've been to Tiki Mondays, we totally appreciate your support. Everybody who's ever been to Tiki Mondays, it truly has meant a lot to me. The fact that we're still going at this point is quite shocking. I'm sure Julie will probably pull a plug on us after the show.
She was really mad at me for using an ounce and a half of Benedictine.
But seriously, thanks everybody for their support. And if you are free on Monday, we totally understand Mondays are not a day for people to come out and go drinking. But this is the night to come out. Come out, support little girls in Brooklyn learning how to express themselves in music. Support your favorite bartenders. And just fucking come out and have fun. This is what bartending is supposed to be. It's fun, it's complicated, the drinks are great, and you're going to have some amazing bartenders serving you. Thank you, Damon.
Thanks, Brian, and thanks, crew.
All right.
You guys have been amazing.
I love this song.
This is... Let's move it over to a bar. Let's go somewhere else. All right. Thanks for listening to Speakeasy. I'm Damon Bolte. We've had every bartender in the world here today.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening.